Well, good morning. It is a rainy Sunday, and I applaud you for braving the elements to be here this morning. Like last Sunday, this particular scripture selection can make us a bit uncomfortable. However, I think it's necessary that we at times delve into those parts of scripture that tend to convict us a little bit. Those things that make us squirm in our chair as we hear the Word of God. And so the writer of Hebrews from chapter 12 has a passage for us this morning that is like that. Beginning at verse 18 in chapter 12 of Hebrews, he says, "You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.'" See, in the days of Moses, everyone knew that approaching Zion, the mountain of God, approaching that mountain was serious business. The book of Exodus gives us several accounts of the people of Israel and their encounters with the mountain Zion. In Exodus 19, beginning at verse 12, "You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Be careful not to go up the mountain or to touch the edge of it. Any who touch the mountain shall be put to death.'" Then verse 16, "On the morning of the third day there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. Blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses would speak, and God would answer him in thunder." Exodus 20 at verse 18, "When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance." See, approaching the mountain of God demanded your full attention. It required preparation, purifying oneself, washing your clothes and your body, making yourself presentable on the outside, but more importantly, cleansing the inside, cleansing the heart, and approaching the mountain of God with humility, with pure intentions, approaching with reverence and a healthy respect for the God of the universe who was indeed present on the mountain. Now I wonder, do we approach the throne of God today with that same measure of respect? Do we approach the throne of God with the same sense of awe as did our ancestors? Or have we become complacent and all too casually familiar with God? Have we enabled ourselves to compartmentalize him into a God of convenience, a self-serve drive-through God there to be our ATM machine, our genie in a bottle, our break glass in case of emergency, God. If indeed that is what we have done as a culture, turned God Almighty into God just slightly, it's no wonder that God is shaking things up a bit in the world today. Look around. See the signs of the times happening all around us, right here in our own country, in our own state, even in our own community. All of creation is being sifted and shaken, just as God did in the days of Moses. I debated on whether or not to share this with you. I got an email from a colleague, a pastor friend of mine in Houston. He got an email from one of the pastors of one of the larger churches downtown who shared with him that he had received notification that he was on an ISIS hit list because he was a pastor. And so this pastor of this large church called the local Houston FBI office, and in speaking with them, determined that there was in fact such a list, that it was not limited to the pastors on the list. It was indeed an open invitation for those who followed Islam to wage war on churches and Christians and pastors and congregations in Texas. Now, I am not an alarmist. The solution for this larger church, at the suggestion of the FBI and of their insurance company, was that they should form safety teams of people in their congregation who had concealed handgun licenses, and they would function as greeters in the church. These are the signs of the times. Now, my call to this congregation, we're not a large metropolitan congregation. My call to this congregation is that we form safety teams of prayer, that those that are Christian would be protected as they come to worship. Now, God does not cause these purveyors of violence and hate to do what they do. This is the result of a fallen and broken world. Moses warned the people that approaching the mountain of God could be hazardous to your health if you approached unprepared. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us that those days of shaking creation are still upon us, with one wonderful and terrible addition, depending on where you stand with God, who is doing the shaking. See, these scriptures about shaking remind me of my daughter Brittany, who served as a missionary in Nepal with her husband and with our grandson, Ransom. And they were there during that, as many of you know, during that incredible earthquake last year, which killed 8,000 and injured 21,000 people. See, at that time, Brittany and her little family lived in Nepal. They'd been there for 2.5 years, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the remote, unreached villages in the Himalayas. Their home base was a concrete block apartment building in the heart of Nepal. and the morning of the day of the earthquake was my grandson Ransom's birthday. And they went to the marketplace to buy him a toy and to get some ingredients to make him a birthday cake. They arrived back at their apartment a little later that morning, and then shortly thereafter, at 11:56 Nepal Standard Time, the earthquake hit with a magnitude of 8.1. It was a big quake. The world around them was shaken. The buildings were shaken. The people were shaken. All of creation, it seemed, was shaken. The marketplace where they had just been that very morning was leveled. The buildings around their apartment were leveled, but they and their apartment remained unharmed. All around them was fear and chaos, but they and their faith were unshaken. As I said, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that those days of shaking creation are still upon us, with one wonderful and terrible addition: depending on where you stand with God, who is doing the shaking. Hebrews continues at verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. It's a lot of words, Pastor. What do they mean? The addition that Hebrews speaks of is the mediator, Jesus, whose wondrous blood covers those who believe in his righteousness, protecting them from the terrible wrath and judgment of the world shaker God. Hebrews tells us that the shaking is not over. The world, all of creation, will be shaken again. And not just the earth, but heaven also, so that everything that can be shaken will be removed, and all that will remain will be those things that cannot be shaken, those things that are covered by the blood of the new covenant, those people who are covered by the blood of the new covenant by faith in the one who poured out his blood for us so that we might be saved, who believe upon him. So that phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. What he's saying there is, we who believe we won't be shaken. Though the ground churn around us, though we end up on some hit list, we won't be shaken. And because we've been given this wonderful free gift of a kingdom that will not be shaken, we should approach the altar of God with thanksgiving, with reverence, with awe, with humility, with joy, with heartfelt worship. For our God is all-consuming. He is all in all. Everything we could ever need, more wonderful than we could ever hope for or imagine. This is the God we worship. And abiding in Christ, though the world crumble into rubble around us, we won't be shaken. So this morning, allow your hearts to be consumed by that purifying fire of God the Father through the life-giving blood of the Son, through the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.